I'm reading from the book of Acts tonight. Amen. Chapter 16. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Good to see Brother Dexter again. Amen. Everybody else, too. Amen. I shouldn't start calling names because I forget most of them. Amen. Anymore, seems like. Amen. Chapter 16, verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Amen. Verse 27, I want you to listen to this. The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Amen. This man jumped to a conclusion, amen, when he seen all the prison doors open. He took it for granted, amen, that all the prisoners had escaped. And would have killed himself. But he was wrong. And I got to reading this. You know, the Bible says, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart." Amen. And I thought of this man as he looked at the prison doors open, and he just took it for granted that everybody there was gone. So he was going to kill himself because they would have killed him anyway. But he was wrong.
Come on down.
And God began to work on my heart and in my mind, amen, about some people of God, amen, who are being affected by what they see and what they hear and what they imagine, and they're jumping to conclusions that are wrong, and they're taking some things for granted that are not so. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And you know what our eyes see and what our ears hear is causing us to jump to the wrong conclusion.
All right. Come on now.
Amen. In the book of Samuel, a very, very familiar scripture, amen, the Bible said the Philistine came on and drew near to David, and the man that bears the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he's but a youth and ruddy of a fair countenance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with stave?" And the Philistines cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Amen. To the eyes of man, it was obvious who is going to be the winner here. Come on, church. Amen. I said to the eye, it was absolutely beyond anybody's imagination for David to even have a chance here. Come on, church. Amen. In fact, his brother said, "What are you doing down here? Amen. I know where you belong. What are you doing down here?" Amen. David said, "Is there not a cause?" Amen. Somebody needs to do something. I think Eliab, his brother, was afraid that he was going to have to explain to his daddy why David, amen, the lad, went down to fight the giant while he was hiding out in the rocks.
Right.
think that's what he was stirred up about. And when Saul heard about it, amen, King Saul, he said, well, you can't go fight this man. You haven't got a chance. Amen. And everybody jumped to the conclusion that David, amen, was going to lose the battle. Amen. And did you know there's some Christians that are looking at our plight, at what we're at, that holiness is no longer the end thing anymore, amen? And that what we got to do is give up holiness and go along with the rest of the world so we'll be, I'll tell you, that's the wrong conclusion, and that's taking it for granted that the church is going down. But I got news for you. The church is not about to go down. It's about to go up, amen. Sweet Lamb of God, and I'm here to tell you tonight, don't take it for granted that we've lost the battle. We ain't begin to fight yet.
All right.
Woo! You know, that's what they told that admiral, amen, during the war with England. Amen. His ship was battered and torn and about to sink. And they said, surrender. Amen. He said, I haven't yet begun to fight. Amen. Woo! Amen. Come on, church. Amen. We ain't begun to fight yet. Amen. We haven't resisted unto blood yet. And yet the world thinks that we're on the way out. I got news for you. You're just like this Philistine. Amen. If you think the church is about to be whipped. Well, I better get on. Amen. I'm kind of stirred up in my heart. This meeting has stirred me. I mean, we had God there every night. Well, I didn't even get to preach one night. Wow. I tried to get it to go every night, but it didn't go. Amen. But I'm telling you, church, we are allowing our eyes and our ears to affect our hearts. And we're taking it for granted, amen, that we're not going to make it. I'm seeing that everywhere. All you can hear is this, I've had a hard time all day long living for the Lord. Amen. The devil's been bothering me. Bless his heart. Amen. God help us. Amen. You're not on the losing side. You're on the winning side. When you pray to the altar of God, you join the army that's going to march out of this world victorious. Amen. I'm here to tell you, don't take it for granted. We've lost because we ain't beginning to fight yet. Sick and tired of that taking it for granted business. Amen. Huh? The devil is already whipped and he knows it. He's still trying. I mean, sweet Lamb of God, the Bible said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows he ain't got but a short time. I put a little few oaky words in there so you'd understand that scripture. Amen. Huh? He knows it. Why don't we know it? Huh? Why don't we know it? He's coming down here to have his last fling because he knows he hadn't got a short time. But a short time, Brother Shepherd, we ought to be rejoicing because he ain't got much longer to be doing whatever he's going to do. Woo! Whew. Boy, you got an easy place to preach, Bruce. Amen. No wonder you. Amen. My God in heaven. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, church, you ain't whipped yet. And you ain't going to get whipped unless you quit. I thought about years ago when I started school. Amen. There's a boy that went there, Lloyd Wells. He's a year older than I was. He was a school bully. Amen. He thought it was funny my name was Buzzard, and so he rubbed my nose in the dirt about it. For 2 years I put up with that. Amen. My sister started school, and he fell in love with my sister. And you know how little boys are when they love a girl. They want to pull her pigtail or her curls and make her cry. That's, you know, that we're trying to get their attention. I think that's what it was. I mean, I don't know. I was scared of them. But anyway, my sister went home and told Mama, hey, man, what was going on, Brother Dexter? And so when Daddy come in, she told her, or he told her, come on, Leon, quit being an Indian and preach, amen. She told him, amen, his first question was, what did Leon do? to get him off my back. Brother Dexter, my dad took me in the bedroom and said, son, this better not happen again. I said, Daddy's he's a year old. He said, I don't care who he is or what he is. If you let him pester your sister tomorrow, I'm going to catch you when I get home. We went to the school stop the next morning, Brother Dexter. Amen. He come walking up there, and before he could say a word, I hit him just as hard as I knew how. And he fell on the ground, so I just jumped on top of him and kept hitting him till the bus come. Woo! It felt so good when I got to school and I got off the bus. I'd done it again before the bell rang. Come on, church, we ain't whipped. If we just tried, we wouldn't take it for granted we're whipped. Sure he's the devil. Sure he is. Amen. I know he is, but God is God, and he's greater and greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Quit taking it for granted we're whipped. We ain't started to fight yet. Woo! Glory to God. I feel something all over me. Amen. And I'm feeling better already. I might drive home. Amen. Oh, God. Come on, church. Amen. Let's stand up for God anyway. We're going to win. He's going to lose. It don't matter what he does and what he tries, he's still going to lose. Let's go on. Amen. In the book of Acts, again, chapter 27. Amen. Bible said, amen, and there this, and we came to Myra, city of Lycia. That's verse 5, last part of that. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexander sailing to Italy. And he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salamone. And hardly passing it, we came to a place which is called the Fair Haven, nigh unto where was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, saying, Sirs, admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart from thence also by means that they might attain Phoenice, there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, lieth toward the southwest and the northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long afterward, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. I want you to notice the Bible tells us here that the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, and the more part or the majority of the people advised to depart, amen, they might attain an easier place to winter, amen, amen. And when the south wind blew softly, amen, they took it for granted, amen, that it was all right to sail. When I read this, I said, Lord, what do you want me to get out of this? And he said, many a man has found a fair haven of rest, a place of safety and holiness, amen, but because it's not commodious to the flesh, because it, how many knows that holiness is not commodious to the flesh? Do y'all, maybe you white people don't understand the word commodious. It means it's not comfortable to the flesh. You know, my biggest enemy is not the devil. He's not my daddy. I mean, the bar's not mine. I mean, you know who the biggest enemy I've got to fight the hardest? I don't know whether you know him or not. His name's Leon Buzzard. Huh? It ain't been too long ago till I had to crucify him hard. Amen, Brother Bruce. I mean, he said, look where holiness has got you. Sitting in a wheelchair in the VA Dublin at the hospital, amen. Amen, and there you are, amen, and there's where you're going to die. I don't see him anywhere tonight, amen. Come on, church. Holiness has never been comfortable to the flesh, but it's a fair haven of rest. I said it's a haven of rest. I said it's a haven of rest. And just because the south wind is blowing softly, which is the, can I say the south wind? Could I use the modern day church? And they're saying, you don't have to live that way to have the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
You don't have to live that way to speak in tongues. You don't have to dress like that to feel the Spirit of God. Come to our church. You'll feel the same thing down there, and yet you can live like you want to live. Hogwash.
Come on.
I said hogwash. Come on, church, amen. Sweet Lamb of God, it boils my blood, amen, to see this modern-day church, amen, teaching what they teach, amen, so far away from God, they wouldn't know the Spirit of God if it did come by. Woo! Amen. Come on, church. I'm glad that I came out of all-time holiness and stayed with it, amen. I'm glad I'm still what I was 50-some years ago when God called me to preach, amen. I'm still preaching the same thing. Years ago in California, amen, they started a cottage prayer meeting, and that's where Mama got saved in 1942. Somewhere in 45, amen, a Assembly of God preacher came by, amen, and decided to build a little church, and him and them women built the church. And that man, Brother Joe, would preach holiness. I mean, back then, some of you older women don't know what I'm talking about. They used them hot curling irons to curl little doodads in their hair, you know. Amen. I mean the ones that are hot. Amen. And he'd get up there and tell them, if you don't get that out of your hair, you're going somewhere where the hot irons, where it's hotter than the hot iron or spit iron or whatever it's called. Amen. Woo! I mean, he preached hard. I come up under that. Amen. Amen. God help us. Amen. That's the kind of preaching I heard when I was a kid. Amen. Several years passed by. Amen. I was passing to Chelsea, and one day Brother George called me and said, guess who's going to be at church tonight preaching? He said, who? I said, who? He said, that old Assembly of God preacher from over Madera, California. Amen. Brother Lee's going to be there. And I said, I believe we'll come and hear him. Well, I went, and when he found out I was there, he wouldn't preach. He said, let Brother Leon preach. And you know me, I never go to church unless I'm cocked. I'm telling you, I got the preacher's itch. I love it. Amen. Woo! Sweet Lamb of God. Amen. I got up and just preached like I always do. I mean, that's the only way I know to preach. After church, Brother Lee walked up and said, well, I enjoyed it, Brother Leon. They said, you know, we in the ministry have learned that you don't have to preach that way anymore. That you gotta go along with the crowd. You gotta preach what they want to hear, or they'll leave you. And I said, do you know where I got everything that I preached tonight? He looked at me. And he said, no, I don't. His wife walked up, and she looked just like she did back in 1945 and 6. Amen. And I said, I got it from you. And she said, tell him, Brother Leon, tell him. Come on, church, amen. Did you know that we've got the only safe haven in this world today? It's holiness. This is the only port that's going to come. Woo! I said, this is the only one that's going to make it through. Holiness is the only one that's going to come through at the end of time, amen. It'll be holiness all the way or no way, amen. You'll never make it outside. Euryclidon waits outside. I know the soft wind's blowing southly now. I know it is, but Euryclidon lies just over the horizon. I don't intend to change for nobody. Something just come to my mind. I'm going to tell it if it's all right. I don't know how long I'm going to preach. What time do you want to go home, Jim? When I'm done. Okay, amen. Go start the car. My youngest daughter went to college, and there she met a young man who wore ear bobs and had a long ponytail. Not real long, but too long. Brother Dexter, she called me and asked me, and said, "Daddy, I'm going to get married, and I want you to marry me." I'd met him, I'd seen him. She brought him down. And I said, "No way. I'm not going to do it." "Daddy, if you love me," and I said, "Don't start that." I said, "If you love me, you wouldn't be doing this neither. Come on, church. I mean, I'm going to stay in my safe haven if you don't mind." Well, she said, "Daddy, you will come and walk me down the aisle." I said, "Ain't no way. I'm not going to do it." She started crying and said, "Daddy, I want you to walk." I said, "I didn't raise you up to give you away to something like that. I ain't coming. I ain't going to do it." "Well, Daddy, you will come, won't you? You will come to my wedding. I mean, this is my little songbird, my piano player, Sister Greta."
Come on.
I said, "You don't want me there, Bonnie." "Yes, I do, Daddy." "No, you don't." "Yes, I do." I said, "No, you don't." I said, "You don't want me there." "Why not?" I said, "When that man stands up and says, 'Can any man here show just cause why these two may not be joined in holy matrimony, and let him speak now forever, hold his peace.' I said, you think this old Indian's going to sit there and not say a word? Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. If I'd have done that, I'd have to hung my Bible on the wall. I'd have had to quit, Brother Dexter. I ain't no way I could do that. Come here and preach to you people like I'm preaching to you. No way. Amen. Well, you know, everybody, well, your daughter's going to hate your guts. Amen. Well, at the wedding reception, her mother-in-law decided to make a big point and deal out of me not being there. Amen. The reason that Brother Buzzard didn't come and Mr. Buzzard didn't come, and Jesus started mouthing off, and my little daughter stood up and said, "I'll tell you why my daddy didn't come." He said, "Because he is a holiness preacher." Come on, church. We have got it. And I don't care how softly the south wind blows. I don't care what they say about being outdated. I don't care what they say about being looking foolish. I don't care what they say about it. I'm going to stay right in the harbor. I said, I'm going to stay in the harbor. How about you, church? Are we going to stay with holiness or not?
Preach.
Oh, God. Amen. Folks are taking it for granted just because everybody's doing it. Everybody can do it. I've got news for you. The majority is never right. Amen. Amen. The majority of the world thinks we're stupid. Well, that's not near what I think they are. Amen. In the book of Luke, we read this account. Amen. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days, they returned the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. Amen. Notice verse 44, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolks and their acquaintance. Amen. Because he was their friends and their kinsmen, they took it for granted that Jesus was among them. Look out, buzzer. That's a very dangerous assumption. Just because grandma and grandpa, or mom and dad, or brother and sister, or Uncle Joe, and I didn't mean you, and Aunt Jan, amen, does not guarantee that Jesus Christ is in it. What are you saying, preacher? You got to know for yourself. You know, amen, people have always passed on traditions sweet Lamb of God. Look out, Brother Leon.
Come on, Brother Leon.
Amen. If I'd have listened to my grandpa, and God bless his heart, he was an old-time holiness preacher, amen. But if I'd have listened to my grandfather, I'd have never read anything out of the Old Testament. He said, the Old Testament's not for this day, it's for that day. And the New Testament's for this day. Well, Grandpa was very, I don't want to say nothing to throw anything against him, but he just didn't believe in the Old Testament. He went to hear me preach several times, and he said, where in the world are you getting all that stuff? I said, right out of the Bible. I said, I've read them from Matthew to Revelation, and I ain't never read none of that. You know something, church? There are a lot of people in this world today are traveling down the wrong road because it's the road, amen, that everybody else traveled when they was a kid. And they said, come on here. I took a church, amen, some time back, amen. And the main message is in that church, God bless their heart, amen, that it's wrong for women to shave their legs. Oh, they could get anointed preaching on that. I told them before I took it, hey man, you're not going to hear about that from me, because it ain't none of my business whether your wife shaves her legs or not. Come on, church. And if we ain't got a bunch of people, Brother Dexter, preaching some stuff that came off the wall and ain't no more Bible, hey man, than nothing. Amen. Come on here, church. Amen. I had a man tell me it's wrong to drink soda pop. I said, you didn't get that out of the Bible. Woo. Amen. I can take you where a sweet Lamb of God, if you take a drink of liquor, it's no worse than taking a drink of coffee. All because it was passed down from somebody else. Huh? If I'd have went along with tradition, you'd have never known me among the holiness rank. I got saved in holiness, but when we went to California, there wasn't no holiness churches out there, so we went to the Assembly of God. And they taught some things that ain't Bible. They started doing it in California long before they ever did out this way, I'll tell you for sure. Amen. That's right, amen. And my daddy, amen, God bless his heart, said, son, this ain't right. The Bible don't say that. And it didn't. Come on, church. You know what? We've got to leave the traditions of men, amen, and go with the Word of God, or we're going to lose out. You say, oh, Brother Buzzard, amen, we got that. I don't care who you got it from. Amen. Because Jesus said, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. We take it for granted. Because Grandpa done it, that's the way we ought to do it. Amen. I love my Grandpa. I thought a lot of him. Amen. But God help us. Amen. I'm glad I ain't living like he did. I have to be careful because, amen, you know, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I don't want to be mean. But if we don't go by the Word of God, we're going to be in trouble. Did you know that the Bible says if you believe a lie, you will be damned? And it doesn't matter what the lie is about. Huh? It doesn't matter what the lie is about. If you believe a lie and you teach a lie, amen, then you are a liar. And all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. That's why we need to go by the Word of God and by the Word of God alone. I lost it. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, brother. Amen. Hope we don't knock the pulpit off you. Pick that thing up. Amen. It stirs my heart when I see people that are living in darkness and believe that they're in the light. Huh? That's exactly what's the matter with this generation that we're in now. Amen. They begin to read the comic books.
amplified version of the Bible, excuse me, comic books to me, amen. Revised editions, amen, who changed the Word of God where it reads like they want it to read. When my grandfather was called to preach, amen, amen, he couldn't read English. He couldn't read Cherokee, and the only Cherokee Bible was the one that the Baptists had translated for them, and they had translated it to where it slanted to read like they want it to read. Huh? So the Lord called my grandfather to preach, amen, and he thought the Baptist Bible would be good enough, and the Lord said, no, King James Version, this one right here. So the Lord taught him somehow to read. I don't know. He never did tell me exactly how, but he couldn't. Couldn't hardly speak good English. So he go to the pulpit, Brother Bruce, and he bring his Bible, the King James, and he bring the Baptist Bible, and he put it here. And he say, Baptist Bible says, and then he read it, but he said, real Bible says. Real Bible says. And Grandpa took the Word of God to be the Word of God. Woo! They got saved in an old holiness meeting, amen. And the preacher left and he said, now there'll be somebody come along and they'll preach holiness, but they'll start some other doctrine, Brother Joel. And it wasn't long, 2 or 3 weeks, here he come, the oneless come. And Grandfather, amen, he had learned one verse of Scripture and he loved it. It's where he said, go out and, you know, and baptize him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And he said he didn't know why he liked it, he disliked it. So here come this oneless, and he preached wholeness, and everybody was getting in because he's preaching against chewing tobacco and liquoring and everything, and everybody's getting in with him for about a week, and then he started in on his oneless doctrine. My grandfather stood up while he was preaching, and he said, Bible says, amen, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He said, even Indian can count to 1, 2, 3. And this preacher's getting mad and he started in again. And when he do it, all the Indians would go. He throwed his Bible on the pulpit, down on the floor, said, I'm standing on the Word of God. I wish we'd get in our mind that the Bible is the final authority. Amen. And there's no second opinion on this. This is the Word of God right here. We don't need nothing else. We don't need no amplified. We don't need no revision. We just need to take the Word of God to mean what it says and says what it means. I was interviewing Mr. Graham. I don't call him Reverend Graham, and if that makes you mad, pray through, amen. They were interviewing him, amen, and they asked him the question. He said, is things different than they was when you first started? He said, oh yes. Things are very different than they was when I started. And I forget when he started years ago, amen. And Brother Bruce, they said, well, how was it when you first started? He said, well, back when I started, we were all fundamentalists. Well, what's that? And they said, oh, that means that you literally believe that the word literally means what it says to do and not to do. You take it for exactly what it says. And all this time I thought I was holiness and I was fundamentalist. I'm fundamental holiness. That's what I am. I like that. Amen. And they said, what are you now? And he spit out some word about that long, amen, I couldn't say it if I knowed it, amen. And they said, what in the world does that mean? He said, we of the ministry have learned that you must preach according to the flow of the crowd. You must preach what they want to hear in order to get them to respond. Sweet Lamb of God. Somebody got on to me because I speak disparagingly of him. Look how many converts he's got. I said, yeah, but look what he's converted them to. Come on, church. We got it right here. Here's the Word of God. This is what we're going to be judged by. This right here. I'm going to stand in judgment and answer for what this Bible says. Not what the Amplified Bible says. Not what the modern day preachers are preaching. I'm going to be judged by what is written in the Word of God.
God.
The devil ain't afraid of the Amplified Version, but he is afraid of this one. It'll shut him up every time. Amen. God help us. You know, we need to never take for granted anything. We need to study it out for ourselves. I've always preached against television. I don't have to do that here tonight, do I? This is Tunnel Hill, isn't it? Bruce does pastor here, don't he? Well, I don't need to preach on it then. Amen. I always have. But I've always told them I don't want you to quit because I told you to quit. I want you to pray through till you get it for yourself. Come on, church. Come on, church. You know what? If you have a pastor that preaches holiness and you're just doing it because he said do it, when he leaves and you get another pastor and he don't quite come up to that, that's as high as you'll go the next round. Huh? You're right, amen. That's right. Woo! Amen. And I hope you all don't take this wrong, but when I first went to preach at Jersey, Georgia, amen, I didn't know how fancy they were. Everybody wore a three-piece suit, even the little boys. Everybody. And there I was, just like I am now, only then I wore cowboy boots. Still would if I could, amen. Sweet Lamb of God, amen. Brother Bruce, amen. After about the second night, that vest disappeared. About the fourth night, the neckties went. Amen. Pretty soon, some of them wasn't even wearing their jacket. Brother, can't think of his name right now. Help me, wife. Amen. Anyhow, Jamie Stoker. Amen. You can ask him if you see him. And he said, Brother Buzzard, I've enjoyed the meeting. We've had a great meeting. God's moved for us and helped us. But God help us. If you stayed here any longer, they'd be coming to church in blue jeans and cowboy boots. And that's about the way it is in this day and time. Let some movie star come out with some kind of a flip-flop and amen and bless God if the homeless people ain't got it within 3 weeks. Come on, church. We done got a model right here. We done got a standard right here. We don't need nobody else's standard. Don't take it for granted because everybody's doing it. Everybody else is going to do it. You know what the Indians say, don't you? The Indians say, buffalo runs in herd. Eagles fly alone. Are you a buffalo or are you an eagle? I like it too. Amen. I never did think I'd want to be a buffalo. I never did. Amen. They just close their eyes and follow whatever's in front of them. Never did like that. That's the way we killed them before we got horses and run them down. Did you know that? Hey, we'd catch a bunch of them close to a cliff. Amen. And stampede them toward the cliff. Amen. And they'd just run off that thing. We'd eat good for days. Amen. Huh? Are you in the herd or are you flying alone? Y'all ain't got a clock. And don't tell me you got a calendar either. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Judges, when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Amen. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought honey in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees, called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. She began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Samson said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself. Samson was taken for granted that because he at one time had it, he still had it. You want me to preach this or not? God help us if that isn't what many folks today are thinking also. They're just like Samson. Sound asleep, only spiritually so. Amen. Playing at having church. Won't really pray. Amen. Holiness at the house of God, but at home or on the job, nobody would ever guess, amen, that they were a Christian. Come on, church. Samson was committing adultery. Amen. He didn't know that the Spirit of the Lord had left him. Amen. He never knew when God left out. Just took it for granted that when trouble come, God would be there. But God was long gone. How long has it been since some of us really checked to see if we still had the Holy Ghost? I mean, really checked. Really checked. Amen. Since we really checked whether we really had the Spirit or not. Some people come to church and everybody else is shouting or sitting there. Amen. And they don't know why they're not getting blessed. You know the first thing they do? They say, I think they're just putting on. That's what I think. I don't know about you, but I get uneasy if I don't feel the Lord just every once in a while. I'm sort of kind of addicted to this. You know, a lot of church people are just like they was in that drug, in that mental institution I worked in when I was on the drug floor. No, I wasn't a patient. I promise you I wasn't. Amen. I really wasn't. Amen. Some people think I need to be there, all right. But anyway, And we was treating these dope heads. And we had what we call the glue sniffers. And we had the hardliners. The glue sniffers, amen, you could break them pretty easy. Just take them off of it a little bit. Amen. And they do pretty good. Amen. And you know a lot of people are like that with God. They're just glue sniffers. They're not hardliners. Hardliners are different. We had two or three of them. Amen. We was up in the fourth story of a building, and they tore the bars out of the window and the heavy screen and jumped out of that four-story building. Amen. And every one of them broke a leg or an ankle, and they walked 5 miles into Benita, Oklahoma to get a fix. They were drug addicts. And the Bible talks about some people that were addicted to the ministry. You're looking at a hardliner. Come on, church. I mean, they went out of their way. They made a sacrifice. It didn't matter if they were in pain. It really didn't matter. They was going to get another fix. Did you know that a lot of people were stepped out on the porch tonight and looked, I believe it's going to rain now. I think I'll just stay home tonight. Now you're getting quiet on me. Bless God, I won't be there this weekend. It's deer season. Glue sniffer. Glue sniffer, that's what you are, amen. So you let me out. I don't care if they are biting. Come on, church. I don't care if Walmart's having five blue lights. Huh? Come on, I mean, we find every excuse in the world to stay out of the house of God. And then when you get in trouble, Lord, here I am again. For years, the buzzards, I think they still have it. I don't know. They don't even ask me anymore. Amen. They have a reunion every year. They always have it on the weekend, and I never would go. Amen. My cousins got perturbed with me, and they said, Leon, why don't you ever come to our family reunion? We want you to come. And I said, if you'll come, we'll let you pray over the food. Wow. You know, wow. Might even let you sing a gospel song. Amen. Sweet Lamb of God. I said, I can't come. I'm having church. Well, you could miss one weekend. It wouldn't hurt nothing. I said, I'll tell you what, next year I'll come if you'll have it on Monday and Tuesday. Oh, I couldn't do that. I'd have to miss work.
All right.
How come it is we always are expected to accommodate the world, amen, and they never want to accommodate us? Huh? I believe I'll just go ahead and be a mainliner if you don't care. I believe I'll just go to the house of God and make sure that I got it every weekend.
On being the weekend where I told the church, amen, that I was going to pray that the Lord wouldn't come except on Easter Sunday morning, because that's about the only time I seen most of them. And I had to pray the Lord wouldn't come during deer season and couldn't come when the crappie was biting or the sand bass were running. Amen. Pretty soon we could almost name the day and the hour the Lord was coming. Samson thought he still had it, and it was long gone. You know what God said? Listen to this. Amen. I will go and return to my place until they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. Amen. I'm sorry, God's not going to stand around. Shake yourself and call on Him. When you decide you want Him, you probably won't find Him. You know something? I found out God can be right smack dab in a VA hospital with TVs running everywhere. I told the Lord I was sick and tired of it. Amen. And one day the nurse walked in, and I said, if I don't get some sleep, I'm going to go crazy. That man runs that thing day and night. I said, can't I have a private room? Well, they're usually reserved for officers of, you know. And I said, well, you're looking at a general in the army. She knows I was a preacher, and she said, all right, preacher, we'll move you. I believe I'll stick with this. I believe He'll make a way where there ain't none. I believe He will. I'm not going to take Him for granted. I'm not going to take God for granted. I'm going to be sure He's in my heart. I'm going to be sure He's with me. Come on, church. Let me go on. I'm preaching too long, probably. Amen. In the book of Acts again. And after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. As he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Felix has taken it for granted that when he gets, he can get in any time or whenever he wants to get in. And I'm seeing a lot of people that are the same way. And I ain't just talking about sinner people. Huh? We got folks in the church. Amen. You can have revival and everybody be getting blessed and getting in. And they'll sit there and they'll say, I'm going to wait till next revival to get in. I'm too tired to pray tonight. I'm too weary to sing. Amen. When I took the church, when me and the wife got married and took the church where it is at, pastor, we had a young man in the church, and he was an excellent singer, and he could sing. Man, he could sing. But he was the kind that wanted to be begged, Brother Dexter. And we say, Brother Lester, come and sing. Oh, I don't want to sing. I don't feel like it. Oh, Lester, please come. That's the way they do. Please, Lester, come and sing. And they'd beg him for a while. And pretty soon he'd say, well, I don't know what I'd sing. So they start naming all the songs off that he sung. And, oh, I don't feel like singing that one. I don't feel led to sing that. So after a while, they get up there, and he sang good. Well, when old Buzzard took the reins, I said, I ain't putting up with this. I said, Lester, come sing. I don't feel like it. I said, okay. Hey, man, I got somebody else who sung myself. After about 2 or 3 weeks, hey, man, he noticed that he wasn't singing no more. So the next time I said, Lester, come and sing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He didn't have no trouble finding one neither. Amen. Come on, church. Somehow or another, we got it in our mind that we can serve God at our convenience. Amen. Whenever we feel like it. Amen. Sweet Lamb of God. If I only preached when I felt like it, I'd have quit halfway through the meeting. That's right. I mean, we had a good service the first night. The Lord blessed us to preach. Second night, I didn't even get to preach. Amen. The next night, the Lord told me I wanted to preach on uncharted waters. Amen. And I had been upset. I told the wife I wish they had some Rolaids or something, but didn't, and didn't want to tell Jim because he's busy doing this and that and everything else. And I thought maybe it'll go away. And I went to church. Didn't feel like preaching. Sweet Lamb of God. But I got up there and started in, and ooh-wee. Yeah. Brother Dexter, I preached better than I thought I could. I really did. Amen. God help us, amen. Go ahead and go to church with the headache and see if you can't shout it out. I said go to church, amen, with the headache and see if you can't shout it out, amen. Come on, church, amen. Just because you don't feel like it, do it anyway. Come on, church. I don't care what the weather's like. You can't serve God according to your convenience. If you want God to bless you, you're going to have to put out an effort, amen. You're going to have to show Him that you really love Him. Why, when I was writing to my wife, we wrote to each other every day. It's hard to keep up with what day you're writing. You get a letter on Monday, you get two because they didn't deliver on Sunday. Amen. Hard to keep up with it, but I kept up with it. I mean, I kept up with it. Whew. Amen. Then I wrote her the one that asked her to marry me in, and I didn't write no more till I got an answer. Come on, church. How are we serving God? With what kind of fervor are we serving the Lord today? Amen. Come on now. Amen. If some of us would treat our wives or our husband like we treat God, there'd be more divorces among homeless people than there are in the world. You know, I read one place where the Bible said that God was not ashamed to be called their God. I don't want Him to be ashamed of me. I mean, you know, hey man, I've even got the wife where she's proud to be a buzzard. I think, hey man. You know, that's a very foolish notion that you can serve God any time you please or get saved when you want to. I heard the Bible saying, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And the Bible said, no man knoweth who the Son is, but the Father and who the Father is, but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Without a divine revelation from God, amen, folks will never have enough sense to even know they need to be saved. Woo! And you're going to tell the Holy Ghost, not now, later, when I feel like it? Yet many today take it for granted that God is waiting at their convenience to save them or get in whenever they get ready. Well, look at Felix. Amen. The Bible tells us that wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. After 2 years, Porcus Festus came to Felix's room. Felix with him to show the Jews of pleasure, left Paul back. 2 years he sent for Paul, and Paul preached to him for 2 years, but the Lord never knocked again. Never. Very sad notion to think that you can serve God, amen, whenever you please and however you please. Amen. The Bible tells us, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. This is a dire warning against that spirit of lethargy that's taking a hold of the church world today. Amen. And they're taking for granted their entrance into heaven. To them, it's a done deal. I've yet to go to a funeral of anybody, whether they went to church or didn't, that they was preached right into heaven. Here of late. Now, if my uncle preached your funeral and you was a sinner, he told him exactly where you went. Whew. Lord have mercy. I mean, he'd tell you, you know this man went to hell. But nowadays, everybody. I mean, we had a man in our country that fell dead out deer hunting. Can't help it, that's where he's at. Fell over backwards off a log with a heart attack. When they found him, his cigarette was still in his mouth. And they preached him right into heaven. Said he'd been a member of the Mount Tabor Church for 15 years. I hadn't seen him. I wouldn't have known him anywhere. I wouldn't know who he was. Amen. But they preached him right into heaven. And one a preacher told me, he said, I know that he made it in because the Lord told me he did. And I said, Brother, you wouldn't know me. I said, Brother Fred, I don't want to ever hear you testify again how God took your cigarettes away from you because it's wrong. Don't ever say that again. Don't ever say it again. Come on, church. Everybody's not going to go to heaven. The vast majority is not going to heaven. Amen. In fact, the Bible tells us that hell has enlarged herself without measure. Amen. To receive the multitude that's coming. Come on, church. Amen. But the Bible says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You know, some people are down on us, Brother Bruce, because we're so tight about, they think, little things. Do you know the debt? I have to be careful here, but do you white folks know the meaning of diligence? The dictionary said, a careful and constant effort with much attention to the smallest of details. That's what Mr. Webb said. And that's what he said, amen, about your calling and your election. Amen. I'm telling you. Amen. You know, I don't want to throw cold water into somebody's face tonight. But you and I are not there yet. But Brother Buzzard, I'm saved. I'm sorry, you're not saved. Now look out. Look, no, you're not saved. Because the word saved means that you are beyond danger. That's what the word saved means. When if you're out on the ocean, hey man, and your ship goes down and another ship picks you up, you say, oh, I'm saved. No, you're not. You're still out there on the ocean. Huh? Come on, we're still in the world. I'm sanctified. That don't mean you ain't going to sin. Now, you know, I better go on. That's a sacred cow. I know it is. Amen. But there's a lot of mooing going on, I'm afraid. Amen. Sweet Lamb of God, are you all out there? Do you know that you're still in the flesh? Hey man, do you know what the Bible said? The Bible said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. That's what the Bible said. And the Bible said, but let not that man say he's tempted of God, because God cannot be tempted to the evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by the devil. Huh? No, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, when you give in to that lust, when you give in to that desire, amen, then say, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And James said, do not err, my beloved brethren. Come on, church. You're still in this world. You ain't going to be saved till the pearly gates swing closed behind you. And the devil shut out forever. That's when you'll be saved. That's when you'll be saved. Here we are. Amen. Jude said, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. We've got a fight on our hands whether people want to believe it or not. Amen. And if we take it for granted that Satan is whipped and through with us, wake up to the new world. Amen. God help us. Amen. And if we take it for granted, amen, we're in for a rude awakening. Huh? We're in for a rude awakening. Amen. Well, I feel like I've about delivered my soul tonight. The Bible says in the book of Kings, amen, and the king of Israel answered and said, tell him. And this is what the Lord wants me to tell you tonight. Let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. In my words, don't take nothing for granted. You're not saved yet. Don't hang the harness on the wall till you hear the pearly gates slam closed behind you. And then you can take the harness off. I feel like, amen, that we're facing one of the greatest battles that the church world has ever known. My grandfather told me before he died, now when my grandfather was alive and preaching, the battles he fought was they would come and cut the harnesses on the horses and take the wheels off the wagons and throw rotten eggs at the church and rock it. And you know what? That's what he faced. But Brother Dexter World, he told me when he was laying on his dying bed, he said, preacher boy, he said, you won't face what I face. But he said, what you'll face will be in the house of God. The man was right. The man was right. The angel of light that the devil has transformed himself into and his ministers of righteousness are having their way in the church world today. But thank God for some places like Tunnel Hill, amen, and with a name like Health Street, amen, God was there anyhow. And a few other places, holiness still reigns. And in those places, we find the Spirit of the living God. We ought to treasure it with all that's within our heart. I don't want to take God for granted. Never. Brother Bruce.
Let's stand, church. Come on, let's stand. You heard straight from heaven tonight.